it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
The head coach of the New England Patriots, Mike Vrabel, is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with six New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Congratulations on win number one.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Looked like you were you basically did a 40 down the sideline. What would you guess your time was?
5.8.
5.8?
Yeah, that headset's a lot heavier than you think.
Those hamstrings ain't built like they used to be. Be careful.
That plantar fascia was barking this morning.
I saw Steph Diggs say that you were slow. He didn't realize how slow you were.
Yeah, it's more for endurance than speed.
He came out of the gate hot.
It's built for the long haul.
That's it.
Like a marathon. All you need is a pass rush is to get off. You don't need
it.
Like,
you only need 6, 7, 8 yards max.
Well, big win. I saw you say last night the most important takeaway for you was that this team is not front running. I'm interested in what you saw from Drake yesterday.
Well, I mean, again, to touch on your point, that's how some of these games go. We'd love to be up 30-3. And if they are, then we'll plan accordingly and we'll be okay. But you know, you get into these back and forth and you have to just believe that you're gonna make enough plays in the end to win. And I felt like we did that. You know, and that was good to see. I think we needed to see it, our players needed to see it and feel it and be in there and say, hey, we could have a couple bad plays, somebody's gonna make a play. Which we did numerous times. So we answered back. Drake was very efficient. It was something that we've talked about for a long time, is just putting the ball where you're supposed to put it, where it needs to go based on their coverage and our scheme. And I thought he did that. I thought he transferred into the pocket well. Being on the silent count, good edge rushers and guys with good get off. Thought we blocked the games. There was a lot of keys that we had. Not a lot, but a couple keys in all three phases, and I felt like we hit those for the most part.
Mike, we all look at like those elite playmakers on offense, but this is another week where your defensive front seven are able to affect the game and get after the quarterback. You lead the league in sacks, and granted it's only 2 weeks, but you've consistently shown, especially in crucial situations, you can make it uncomfortable. How much of a major factor is that for just your football team in general when you have that capability at the end of games?
Yeah, and they were going hard, and it was hot. I mean, it was hot. That one was real yesterday, and I appreciated everybody's efforts in the game and everybody that played or everybody that dressed contributed. So that was great to see, and to be able to continue to, I guess, affect the quarterback and get him to a second read. You know, trying to tie the coverage in, and the X plays are something that we'll have to continue to focus on. But when we had to, I felt like we got the drive stopped. That was either after a drive of theirs that we forced them to kick a field goal, or we were able to get the drive stopped before a field goal.
Leading up to this game, when it comes to your defense, though, how important was it for the guys to show up for each other and for the team in the absence of Terrell? Like, for you, did you feel like they did that for him?
No, I hope that they didn't. I hope they did it for each other. And I don't think that Terrell would want that either. I think that they are beginning to understand each other and how everything works. And you know, each week is a new challenge. And so I hope that they did that for them and that they played hard for them and that they were selfless for each other. I think that's the whole goal.
But did you feel like the preparation, they were able to achieve exactly what Terrell would want them to achieve going into that
game? Yeah. I mean, I think that that's always the case. I think that there was understanding and practice. There was communication. There was an energy to work and understand how to prepare for this football team and the motions and everything that goes into it. And it's a good test. It is a very good test to be able to handle all that.
Mike, the pass from Drake May to Ramondre Stevenson, 3rd and 3, minute 50 in the third quarter, to me was the play of the game. Perfect throw, right in stride. What were your thoughts on that and its meaning to the win?
Well, oddly enough, we had a similar play this week in practice, but it was with Travion, and we had two brutal plays to start the day. And I said, fellas, we this whole mentality of just, you know, F it and let's move on. Like, we have to get going, and it takes one play. And it was Travion on that exact route that hit that play in practice, and then everybody started getting all juiced up. And it was really odd, weird that now it was the same play, but Ramondre, and we hit it, and it kind of lifted our spirits, and it kind of got us going again. So it's just a good reminder of things that how we want to practice is similar to how we want to play, and we can't let negative plays snowball on us.
Another week, though, on kind of the negative side, especially with the penalties. What's kind of going on there?
Well, we had false starts, you know what I mean? And again, you can we don't want penalties, but I've gone down this road before. Penalties are probably a bad predictor for win rate. I'd focus on quarterback rating, turnovers, and rushing margin. And we won all three of those. So I would say that the easy thing to say, because I've lived this world, is when I was first starting in Tennessee, I was the penalty Nazi. And then I did a lot of research, and I'm like, hey, unfortunately, it looks like it's 50-50. Like, whoever has more penalty, you know, there's critical penalties. Right. And we want to make great decisions. And we don't ever want to do things that cost the team. We'll address those. You know, I mean, we had some false starts. One, Will didn't move. Will pointed at the guy. You know, I mean, Will pointed at the guy that's rushing, and they called false start. You know what I mean? So, again, I'm not going to go through the crew and the guy that's his first year. And, you know, they made some good calls. I'm sure they'd, you know, the ones that they'd like to have back. And, you know, I'm just, you know, if we tell them going in, this crew, Dana over there, he calls the line of scrimmage tight. And if he thinks that KC lined up in the neutral zone and he's not going to warn them, and he's just going to go throw the flag, I guarantee next week and all around the league, there's guys that are 3 inches in the neutral zone, and they tell him the next play, hey, back up or I'm going to flag you. That's how this goes.
I mean, I feel like you should have got the challenge. Like, I'm on Stretch's side on that.
Tough day, I guess. you know, we know how this thing goes. It goes in New York, and, you know, there's one guy looking at three games, and there's one guy looking at another three games, and, you know, they could tell us what they want, but, you know, for that to be expedited, I'm okay losing a challenge, but, you know, give me the courtesy of taking a look at it in a 2 minute, you know, window. But
the ball moved in his hands. It was
didn't survive the ground. Like, right. We know what the rule is. He's going to the ground. It wasn't like he had made a third step and completed it, and it came off his body. It came loose. So we'll keep swinging. We have a good feel for how these things go in replay, but again, judgment.
After the game, you said to Andre that you had all the confidence in the world for him making that last kick. Do you guys have a kicking problem right now, or do you feel confident in him?
How many times do you want me to answer it? He answered it yesterday, missed two extra points, and then made the rest of them. If I didn't feel confident, I wouldn't have put him out there for a 53-yarder. So it was good to see. And you threw me off by Andre. I haven't called him Andre since the day that we drafted him. I'm like, Andre?
Andre.
Did we sign somebody that?
I like to use first name.
No, they call him Andy.
Mike, take us into the thought process of throwing the pass. I think it might have been on second down towards the end of the game, which was incomplete, which allows Miami to keep a timeout in the pocket. What's the mindset going there? Are you thinking just run, let them burn their timeouts?
Well, you need a first down to try to win the game. So I thought we, you know, could catch them in, you know, falling asleep there on the crossing route. And unfortunately, we did it. And that's how it goes. But you're going to need a first down to win the game there and didn't get it.
Mike, clearly you were uncomfortable after the game when Robert Kraft came in and was giving you the game ball. You clearly wanted to deflect immediately and talk about the players. But yeah, you're in pretty rarefied air, a guy that played for a team and now coaching for the team. Anything that you want to share about what your first feelings were getting your win first time as the head coach?
I appreciate that, but this is about the players. This is about them being confident in what we're doing, them believing in what we're doing, them believing in each other, feeling like they have the preparation, feeling like they have developed some sort of skills that they can go use in the game and be successful. I promise you. And maybe that's just having been a player and had success on a team, and I want the players to be able to experience that. I promise you, I'm good. I do this outside of winning is to see guys develop and have personal success, and that they can help themselves and they can help the team.
I'll take the ball if you don't want it.
No, I'll keep it. Okay. I mean, it will be like the Super Bowl balls that when I had, and they'd go home and the kids were little and it would be snowing in Columbus, and I'd look out and it'd be like the Super Bowl touchdown catch, and the outside just like diving into snow piles.
Lock those things up.
Go ahead, guys.
Have at it. Third and goal in the second, you call a timeout. What did you say to Drake May there?
Let's just get things tightened up here. Let's make sure that everybody's getting the call, that we're being efficient. I know it's tired and we're subbing, and you know they're tired too. However, we feel that they feel, and it was just. But let's settle everybody down. Let's take control of the huddle. Let's make sure everybody gets the call and that we're lined up and that we can execute here.
Mike, you talked about the penalties and how some people might overreact, and every coach is different on what they look at. When you look at your success with getting sacks, you guys are doing a good job, but you're also giving up a lot of explosive plays, especially in the passing game. Is that something that you start to factor in, like, all right, we got to limit these, or is this a thing that's going to happen in a game?
No, I mean, there's going to be a few, mm-hmm. and I think maybe our whole intention was to defend, you know, inside the numbers and make sure that was not where it was hurting us. We did okay there. And then obviously they felt comfortable throwing those outward breaking routes, and not that I'm accepting of it, but you know, we have to be able to say, this is what the game plan was. So I think that there are some plays that we certainly need to correct, mm-hmm. and we can't have the ball thrown over our heads on third and, you know, 15 and Tyreek Hill just blazing out of there. So that's those are concerns. But the other ones, some of them are on us and how we wanted to play the football game, making sure that they were, you know, we were defending the middle of the field where they've had so much success.
With the penalties, Morgan Moses had said that Will Campbell came up to him after and said, you know, don't worry about it, it happens. I guess Morgan had said that to him last week on the sideline. Do you feel like Will Campbell's turning into the leader that you want him to?
I think that he shows up every single day, and I think he does his job, and he cares extremely about this football team. And so I think that's starting to make him a leader. I think he is prepared. I think he executes for the most part in the game. He knows what to do. So I think that makes him a leader. And hopefully this trend of, you know, these linemen fall starting and then, you know, patting each other on the back after the game can end. We only have three more linemen to go. So we're 40% of the way done here with, you know, it happens. Yeah, don't worry. It happened. You know, hopefully three more weeks, we're done with this.
Mike, you have the Steelers this weekend. Tom Brady said this offseason that at his peak, Aaron Rodgers is the best thrower of the football he's ever seen. Talk about what you see from Aaron Rodgers, and would you agree with Tom's assessment there?
I don't, you know, Tom knows more about quarterbacks than I do. I just know that it's going to be a physical football team. They're always good defensively. Aaron provides a lot of challenge just from his operation, his mechanics, the urgency in which he's able to command the offense. It puts a lot of stress on you. So stuff that Arthur Smith has done in the past, there'll also be plenty of things that Aaron has that he'll take advantage of bad football if you're not ready.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because you have such a great relationship with Arthur Smith, who was on your staff at one point in time. Does it give you, you know, we always talk about that. Does it give you an advantage that you know a guy, or is it a disadvantage because even though you know him, he knows you as well when it comes to, you know, putting a scheme together?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they'll have their game plan plays. I haven't watched too much of them, you know, just getting here started, get going on them here as soon as we finish with you guys. But, you know, Arthur will have his core concepts and his what he believes, and then Aaron will have his things that he's always liked and that he's wanted to do. So we'll have to kind of see where that blend is.
Difficult week in this country. Did you address that at all with the team?
No, I didn't talk about the things that kind of have gone on here this past week.
When we talk about leadership, I know Courtney was talking about Will Campbell, but one guy that I really think does a tremendous job, and I've always liked the way he played since his time at Boston College, is Harold Landry. Talk a little bit about what he brings to the team and what he brings to the defense when it comes to leadership.
A very consistent player. You know, I think he has a very consistent routine. I've known Harold for a long time. I'm excited that the players voted him captain. This is his first time being a captain. I think he has shown that when he got here, he wanted, that was important to him. It was to lead. He's always a versatile player. We put a lot on his plate, anything that is a game plan specific type thing for that position. You know, we have a tendency to put it on Harold because he'll understand, you know, he'll be able to get it quickly in a few days of practice. So, yeah, we're going to need him and everybody else to continue to play well and try to help us and get some consistency going.
It seemed like Drake was being himself, not sort of tentative or outside the pocket. It seemed like in week one, he was very hesitant, sort of sliding outside the pocket, not running downfield. Was there any change in the communication you had between week one and week two? And what did you see from Drake in terms of composure yesterday?
Well, I meant sliding. I think he slid in week one because they got to him quicker. I mean, I don't think he was going to slide because we told him just to go a yard and slide. That's not what we want. We want him to be as aggressive as possible and make sure that he takes care of himself, which he did yesterday. Maybe he just was running faster yesterday.
Where does I think we talk about it with, you know, from the outside, knowing nothing about what's going on, and so it just, you know, appeared from the outside week one that maybe he was being overly cautious when you know, making the decision to run the football, and good to hear you say that.
No, I don't think that's ever the case. That's if it's, you know, progress through, and you can only make so many progressions based on the pass rush. I wouldn't get to the third read sometimes. Again, that's based on how the protection is and, you know, just being decisive. And so we don't want our players to ever have to second guess what they want to do. The whole be decisive and aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Block pressure, block movement. They pressured a lot. They moved. We were able to do that. Covered them up. Had some good runs. Cool to be able to run the two-point conversion in. Most of our guys are in the end zone scoring with their guys. And if they score with their man, then we're obviously going to score. So those are some cool things to be able to show our guys.
I know you said last week that Christian Gonzalez continues to improve. Is there a chance that we could see him going into this week?
There's a chance.
A good one?
I wanted to ask.
Courtney got a big ring. She has got a rich husband.
She does have a pretty big ring there. Yeah, it's pretty big.
What's he do, Courtney?
He does commercial real estate.
Oh,
he does,
wow. Yeah. High rises and
he's
all
actually
that
a St. John's prep guy.
You see that rock over there?
I mean, it was like, okay.
That thing is bright as the sun, yeah, man. As bright as the
so
sun.
So a good chance. So a good chance, yeah, for Christian. Yeah. Good chance.
All right, well.
There's a chance.
I don't think you said anything this morning that they'll be all over you about.
I knew
week
that was coming. I was free publicity for you guys.
It was great. Could you mention my name when you're doing it?
I promise you'll be the fourth name that I mentioned.
Publicity. I didn't know. I couldn't tell if it was the 6:30 start time or the actual segment that you were kind of grousing about a little bit there.
Oh, no. It was just the fact that anything I say, canon will be used against me in a court of law.
Right. All right. Well, we'll try to help you with that. That is Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots, and conversation with the coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. It's a Patriots Monday. It's a victory Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium, and we will be back and get started
get started with our leads coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, as I said, we're going to go right to the phone lines. Joining us now is Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots on a Patriots Monday, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with six New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Mr. May, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty well. How about y'all?
We are doing great. We enjoyed a very entertaining and, in the end, successful football game yesterday. And I want to start off, not at the end, but at the beginning. I know you guys talked about wanting to start fast all week, and you went out there and you did that. You looked very comfortable, decisive, efficient. And I was wondering, was that just, you know, the byproduct of things started rolling early? Was it the investment in starting fast? You know, why'd you look so good and seemingly feel so good early in that game?
Yeah, I think it's kind of what's up. Okay, you kind of get what you emphasize when you kind of harp on all week and you try to you really put focus into something and just try to find completions, get the running game going, and how do you feel, you know, play actions and kind of we're trying to just create positive plays and just kept on, you know, moving the ball and was proud of the guys for starting fast, and I think that's something that we need to try to do every week.
Yeah, Drake, really seemed like there was great energy out there from yourself and from the team, and Andy and I were calling it a very efficient performance for you. 19 of 23, 230 yards, three total touchdowns, two in the air, one on the ground. And it's funny, it's half as many pass attempts as last week when you attempted 46. So less in the end ended up being more. Was efficiency on offense a point of emphasis for you guys this past week?
Yeah, I think it's a point of emphasis every week to be try to be efficient on offense. You know, we're going to try to stay in third and manageable. You know, try to be good on first down. I think we still got some we had some penalty issues that we need to clean up. We had some kind of longer yardage, kind of fighting long first and second down that we need to clean up. But you know, I think overall, I'm proud of the guys, the way they fought adversity. And you know, I thought we had a pretty strong first half and need to maybe finish one more, you know, down in the red zone. But really, other than that, just proud of those guys for, you know, also kind of harping on, you know, scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
Drake, how important was it to succeed in terms of balance early on? I think it was like seven runs, seven passes in the first quarter, and it just kept going that way. It seemed like not only were you clicking, but Josh was kind of dialing up productive plays both on the ground and through the air.
Yeah, you know, it all starts with running the football. You know, those guys did do a great job in the run game, and it's just one of those things when you start to run it, it opens up kind of, you know, the passing game and the play-action game. So the more they got to respect the run, the, you know, the less that, you know, they can handle the pass. So I think it's always an emphasis for us to try to get the run game going early and able to play off that. And I think those guys, you know, coach was kind of in the rhythm, and once you're kind of in the rhythm with the offensive coordinator, it starts rolling.
So, Drake, the second half saw its share of haymakers and game-changing plays back and forth. It was a wild ride, especially in the fourth quarter. But if you can, walk us through the 56-yard completion to Ramondre. I thought it was the play of the game. Was he the primary read on that play, and what did you see?
Yeah, just, Mondre making a play. I think he you know, gave the backer a good little move and had him up the sideline. So, yeah, just trying to you know, give him a ball he could catch. I thought I almost overthrew it at one point. Just glad he made a great catch and, you know, finished it off with a, you know, even better run. So I think, just making a play in crunch time. You know, we're down in the game, you know, big third down to kind of, you know, it's loud in there on the silent count. You know, it's a big third down to kind of, you know, really change the momentum of the game. And I think, you know, just props to our guys of making a play and handling it down there is the best thing about it. We finished the touchdown in the red zone. So that was that was a huge play for sure.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, I know there was a lot of just noise from people like us, reporters, podcasters, everybody last week criticizing the offense, wondering if there was too much on your plate. And I know you've used the word proud of the team, but it's got to feel good to go on the road, to Miami, a place that's been very difficult for the Patriots to play over the years, in the heat, division foe, and really show the resiliency to not only win the game, but kind of, I guess, shut up idiots like us on the radio. That has to feel good.
Oh, shoot. You know, we're not worried about that. That's part of, you know, playing in this league. There's a bunch of eyes on every team and every offense around the league when we didn't play up to the standard. So I'm just glad to get in the win column, and I think it took everybody. It literally took everybody yesterday. Special teams, offense, defense, coaching. So it was cool to come out with the win.
Now, it seemed like earlier in the game, get the touchdown to Mac Hollins, Kayshon Booty with a dime that you threw into the corner, made another incredible catch. But they all end up only having one catch on the day. Were they not heavily favored into the game plan, or did Miami try to make a concerted effort to take away some of your perceived top targets?
Yeah, I think that's just sometimes how the ball bounces. I think those guys still blocked hard in the run game. We had some tight ends, we had some running backs out of the backfield, we had some screens. We kind of one of those games where we really dropped back passing and just kind of letting their edge rushers kind of eat on the edge. So I think it was one of those things where we're trying to get the ball out quick, and I think more and more down the road you could see games where they have bigger games, but at the same time we're just trying to spread the ball out. We got a lot of guys that can make plays, so I think everybody's just kind of finding their role and playing in it.
We mentioned the balance of the offense. The passing game was going, the running game's going. That means the offensive line is doing their jobs in both ways. You got a couple rookies up there on the left side, four new starters. I have to think you're very appreciative of not only the effort they're putting in, but the performance they're putting in a couple weeks into the season.
Yeah, those guys are playing their butts off. Credit to those guys. And it's a good feeling running out there with them every week. And I know they're playing hard and wanting to run the football and wanting to win. So, I think us six really drive, the offense. And I think it's continuing to show there and get better and better, as we go on, the more they play with each other.
All right. So how happy were you to play such a large part in Mike Vrabel's first win as coach of the Patriots? Saw him in the tunnel afterwards, high-fiving everybody. He was handing out game balls, like they were Christmas bonuses afterwards. How happy was he, and how happy were you to help make him that happy?
Yeah, it's an awesome feeling. I think it's, we wanted to get the one last week, but, it's a good feeling to get one on the road. A division opponent, it means a lot. Such a, emotional game and back and forth. So I can only imagine, I could imagine. I was in the locker room. So, it was a awesome feeling. Just, good to get a win. Like I said, it took everybody, and it was cool to see everybody kind of respond. And I appreciate what coaches kind of brought this year and brought to kind of this organization as of yet.
Speaking of your coach, what'd you think of his speed? I'm sure you've seen the video of him running the sideline on Gibson's kickoff return. Stephon Diggs said he thought coach looked a little slow. What was your assessment of his speed there?
Yeah, I'm more impressed. Pull a hammy or something. It's hot down there. It started cramping. So, I thought it's pretty cool. I was watching it from a different angle, and kind of saw him. Once he caught the edge around there, I knew he was gone. So, what a play! And that was funny to see Coach running down.
So obviously, you're only as good as your most recent results in the NFL. Big one next week. But more importantly, how do you take the momentum of an effort like this, where you guys got up early, took a few punches, came back and found a way to win? How do you take the momentum of this big road win in a tough place for you guys to pull it off and build off it offensively and as a team overall?
Yeah, I think, one of the big things is you still got to learn from it. Learn from things you could improve on. Learn from, mistakes, or learn from, penalties, and learn from situational football. And help that, take that and help and then let it help us down the road. I think that's a big thing. And also learning how to, come off a win and get back to work and practice this week, and know that it's, it's any given week of the NFL, and they're trying to, win the next week and move on. As I say, the 24-hour rule. So try to get rid of a big win and try to get another one.
Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. A question hit me, kind of a crossover question from baseball. A lot of times when you hear about starting pitchers, you hear, sometimes in the bullpen they realize they don't have their best stuff, but they got to go out there and find a way to get guys out and put together a solid performance. Is there a similarity with quarterbacks? Like, are there days when you warm up and you're like, oh, I got it today. The accuracy's here. I just feel it. And likewise, other days where sometimes, you know, okay, maybe not my best day throwing the football, but I got to find a way to be good enough.
I think it's more of a, there's a kind of a standard kind of way you feel when throwing the football, and there's kind of a, you'll feel with how the footballs feel and how your arm's feeling, where you can kind of get a groove. Okay, yeah, this is one of those days. So, I wouldn't say you ever feel like horrendous throwing the football. Hopefully I won't, before a game, but, sometimes when the wind gets going real bad or, with some tough weather, but, really other than that, I think sometimes I just feel like, hey, it's a good day to, wake up and throw the football.
All right, so up next, big one. You guys are 1-1, week 3, back home at Gillette, and it's the Steelers coming to town off of a particularly frustrating, if not embarrassing, loss for them in front of their home crowd. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think a hot mic caught you after the Jets game, week 3, 2024, looking for Aaron Rodgers to meet him or something, calling him the GOAT. So any extra excitement or motivation for you looking forward to maybe getting your first home win as a starter and facing off against a childhood idol?
Yeah, he was one of my favorite players growing up. So impressive how he's, throwing the football in his days and still throwing it to this day. So, it'd be pretty cool to, it'll be our second matchup. One from last year. So try to get a big, big one at home and get a chance to play against, a Hall of Fame quarterback is pretty cool in its own.
Clearly, a win is a great way to unify a locker room and a football team. I'm wondering, because we tend to generalize and look at your team as offense, defense, special teams, three units. What is the vibe in your locker room a couple weeks into the season? Like, how do you get along with the defensive players? What's the competition level on the practice field? Give us a little sampling of sort of the behind-the-scenes vibes of the Patriots locker room.
Yeah, I think the guys are just, kind of feeding off each other. I think guys are energized. I think guys are, cheering guys on. I think we got a, real kind of locker room that enjoys being around each other. That's the biggest thing. We come into the facility, looking forward to, seeing each other and competing. And I think kind of building off from training camp. We wanted to come in here and work against each other, and defense may have one day, we may have got them the next day. So I think guys are, guys are kind of, buying into it and just trying to, bring it every week. And I think that's one of those things where, you learn throughout the season that you bring it every week and you're going to battle injuries and you're going to, just use each other and use your teammates to, keep going and play football.
Time now for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This one comes from Mike in Medford, and it says, understanding how much time goes into your job during the season, what do you do, Drake May, to get away or wind down, even if it's just for a little while during the work week?
Yeah, I enjoy watching college football. I enjoy watching other NFL games, Thursday night and the Monday night ones tonight. Just not even from a quarterback, standpoint. It's hard not to watch it from a quarterback standpoint, but sit down and try to be a fan for a little bit. And other than that, just, go out there with some teammates and, just kind of, relax and get the body back going for the next week.
Do you still have as much time to do that as a married man, or are there some more loyalties or responsibilities?
No, she loves football. She loves watching, football as well, thankfully. So, yeah, I got a good one.
Okay, so you don't have to watch, like, the Lifetime channel or something when you're home on a Monday night kicking back?
Yeah, exactly. She knows. Yeah, Monday Night Football will be on. She knows, and she wants it too.
All right, Drake, appreciate you joining us after the first win of the season. Good luck this week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
That's Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, here on a Patriots Monday.
We're joined right now by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by Shaw's and Star Market. You can look for the new lower prices everyday tags through the store and save on the items that you buy most, and by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Hunter Henry, how are we doing this week?
Good, guys.
We know you can take losses pretty hard. How's it feel to get not only the team's first win of the year, Mike Vrabel's first win with this franchise, and also the team's first win in Miami since 2019?
Yeah, it feels great. You know, it's hard to win in this league. Obviously, it's hard to win down. It's been hard to win down there in Miami for us, so it feels great.
What do you think of Drake May's performance? Jones and I were just saying we think it's the best he's ever looked in the NFL.
I mean, he played great, man. He guy's a stud, man. You know, he's a special talent. We love being in the huddle with him, love competing with him. So, yeah, it was fun to be able to fly around with him yesterday.
I heard a little snicker in there, so I assume I know where this is going. But lots of debate last week about Drake May and his plate. Is there too much on his plate? We certainly dabbled in it here on this show. So any thoughts on those criticisms of Drake May being overwhelmed?
I got no doubt in Drake at all, man. I'll let you guys try to debate on all those things, man, but we got no doubt in this locker room for sure.
What's the feeling like for the offense after a long scoring drive that ends in a touchdown, but then you see the extra point is missed?
Just move on. Next play. You know, it is what it is. And obviously we know we're going to execute those, but you just got to move on and get ready for the next draft.
Similar question. The highs and lows on the sideline when you see the Dolphins bring back a punt return, then Gibson answers with a kickoff return. What's that high and low like on the sideline?
Yeah, that was one of the more crazy things I've witnessed in football. Yeah, I mean, shoot, that's just resilience, man, response, just continuing to play, continuing to fight, and then AG obviously making, you know, a lot of guys making some big-time blocks on that, but also AG making a big-time play in a big-time spot.
You see Vrabel motoring up the sideline. Have you seen any of the highlights or images of that? He was cooking.
I did see that a little bit. Yeah, he was moving down the sideline.
What was halftime like for you guys? Because it felt like you were dominating the game, and yet you were only up by 1 point on the scoreboard.
I mean, that's the NFL, man. That's part of it. I mean, these teams, every team's good, especially the Dolphins. They're at home, man, the home opener. We knew it was going to be a dogfight, so you know, we were ready for it, ready for the challenge, and we, you know, just had to respond.
Okay, you guys won last week, so you're 1-0 with the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week. You know we're bringing it back. Let's hit it.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise. We wasted the good surprise on you.
Golly, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, Hunter, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised ever, 1 being not surprised at all, how surprised were you when Destiny's Child broke up?
Good Lord, I was young, man. I was so young when that happened.
1 to 85?
1 to 85. Let's go 45.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Wow, more surprised than the ending of The Sixth Sense.
That is. It's interesting. We're trying to figure out the scale
all
here.
Right. Well, we're gonna keep track of these all year long, Hunter. We appreciate the time joining us every Patriots Monday. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Bill. See you, man.
All right, Hunter Thank Henry you. Here on Jones and Keith right. Every Monday on WEI.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
45.
Vibe through the roof here at Gillette Stadium after a win for the New England Patriots in Miami yesterday for the first time since 2019. And it is Patriots Monday, and Boomer Esiason is brought to you this week by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com by Shaw's and Star Market. Look for the new lower prices everyday tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy the most. Buy Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is also brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, man. It sounds like everybody's a little happier this morning.
Victory Monday. Mike Vrabel said the most important thing he took from the win yesterday is that this team are not front runners.
No, they're not front runners, but thinking about how long it's been since they won in Miami and how long it's taken for them to score 30 or more points in a game, they've gotten the monkey off of their back. And I actually thought, you know, thinking about this game yesterday, I played in week two down in Miami one year when I was with the Jets, and it had to be like 95 to 100 degrees. And it just, to me, at least in the fourth quarter, it looked like both teams were gassed, but New England must be in better shape because you win a game like that just simply because you are in better shape. So at least that's something that Mike could take out of the game as well.
Does the heat excuse any of the penalties, like maybe the offensive line penalties? Because those guys, I can relate to the big guys.
Yeah, okay. So can Jermaine, too, by the way. I'm sure he was slamming some chicken wings yesterday.
There's a few of them,
Boomer. Yeah, drinking a few beers, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, we all, as we get older, we all getting a little bit less of shape that we need to be in.
I will say that there were penalties all over the league yesterday. I mean, insane amount of penalties yesterday. I think there were a number of bad calls all across the league as well. I don't want to blame the Heat on too much, but yeah, I mean, it does get to be pretty dicey down there, and Miami uses that as a major advantage because obviously living in it, you know, you get used to it a little bit easier. But I can't, you know, Miami's in they have problems. They have major problems. You know, they've allowed points on their first 10 drives this season. That's insane. Their defense stinks, I guess. So You got teams slicing and dicing them, Daniel Jones and Drake May, but nonetheless, you got to play who's on your schedule. And I thought Drake was a little bit more compact this week. He only attempted 23 passes, which is probably the way it's going to be if they can keep it this way and try to run the ball effectively. But, you know, this was crazy yesterday. You know, punt return for a touchdown, kickoff return for a touchdown. That's the only second time that's happened in the NFL where one happened and then the other happened right after it. So it was an amazing game, and it was a great win.
When it comes to Drake May, Boomer, and using his legs, there was a difference between week one and week two. Do you think that is Josh McDaniels saying to him, hey, we can open it up a little bit when it comes to you using your best quality? Or do you think it was Drake May becoming more comfortable against the Dolphins?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, but I also would say I really don't want Drake May doing that much. I want him standing in the pocket and reading the defense. And, you know, he threw that beautiful pass down the right sideline to Ramondre Stevenson. And if you watch him in the pocket, that's how you're supposed to operate. And when you have arms and legs and everything around you and you step up and you still have the presence of mind of putting the ball right on the money, and Stevenson makes a great catch. It's a really perfect pass. I mean, that's the silver lining part of it. That's the thing that I see that I want to see more of, and I want to see, you know, him be more consistent. And yesterday was his best game. They won. They were on the road. They were doing it down in Miami. So hopefully, you know, he gains more and more confidence. Like, I thought when you go back and you look at the Vegas game, there were times where he was just, like, going so fast. And maybe he'll calm down a little bit and everything will slow down for him. He's still only in his second year, and he's got a real offensive coordinator. They're talking about real things that are happening on the field in real time. So all of that is great for him, and hopefully he can build on this now.
You brought up the back-to-back returns for TDs. Last week, 75% were returned as opposed to last season, 35%.
Yep.
You like that rule change?
I do, because I like the play. You know, I don't like the way it is. I like the old way. But, you know, you have to adjust. You have to try to limit as many injuries as you can, which is one of the reasons why the NFL has done this. And the NFL also wanted to increase kickoff returns. And you hope that your kickoff returner, you know, understands the rules as opposed to what happened in Pittsburgh yesterday, Caleb Johnson, the rookie, he didn't know the rules, or maybe he thought the ball was going to go out of the end zone. I didn't see any of his comments after the game. But, you know, that it's on the player for sure, but it's on the special teams coach. And Jermaine will tell you this. You know, these coaches go over time and again the rules, and especially how these rules have changed in this regard, that we finally had our first mistake. But that will be a teaching point for every single special teams coach this morning in the NFL, letting everybody know, guys, this is the rules. The ball hits in this part of the the field. You got to play it and you got to run it back, and you can't just assume that it's going to go through the end zone.
Boom, a great win for the Pats, but it looks like Miami imploded in front of us, having penalties back-to-back. How long before Mike McDaniel gets fired?
Yeah, well, he's got a very, he's got an owner that's got some pride. He's got an ego. I don't necessarily know how much more he's going to want to put up with this. It's kind of a weird, you know, that they've kept their GM through all of this, by the way. And they haven't gone to the playoffs or maybe once under him. And for some reason, he's been there for, it seems like, ever. I mean, maybe since 2010. So I don't know what the heck Stephen Ross is going to do. But I gotta believe that he is really frustrated. He wants wins. But, you know, when your team is giving up points on every single drive or the first 10 drives of the season, I mean, that doesn't go over well in the building. So I think most of us realize that Mike McDaniel is on the short list of guys to be relieved of his job. I never really like talking about this because I know how hard this job is. But given all the things that have gone on around them over the last couple of weeks, I would think it's getting pretty dicey down there.
Boober, with the Chiefs falling to 0-2, I thought for sure that obviously Mahomes is going after Tom Brady. That's his goal, to be the GOAT. That the Chiefs would see how the Patriots concluded things with Tom Brady and do more to make sure they maximize the window of Patrick Mahomes. That offense looks awful. I know they've had injuries at the receiver position, but whether it's the offensive line, they just look nothing like the Chiefs that we've gotten used to.
They may be exhausted. You know, all this winning, you know, it happens. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being real. I mean, and they are the hunted. Everybody goes after them. And, you know, Travis Kelce had a case of the dropsies yesterday that basically cost their team. There's a lot swirling around that team. I still believe in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, the combination. They've got to get some guys back. They got to get guys healthy. They're not creating any big plays whatsoever, and that's 2 weeks in a row now. You know, the interesting thing from the Patriots' perspective, when you think about this, is that, you know, now the Bengals have lost Joe Burrow, it looks like, for an extended period of time. I don't know if he's going to have surgery or not, or he's going to try to fight through this injury, but if he has surgery, he's going to be out for 3 months. And with Kansas City getting off to the start that they've gotten off to now, you know, they're going to be fighting for a wild card most likely in that division if everything stays the way it is. But yeah, I would certainly be worried about that team offensively. Defensively, they're good. They're going to be solid, and they play the Giants this week, so maybe they'll get on the winning side of things.
I caught some of your extraordinary national show on the radio station Sunday. Excellent show, by the way, Boomer. And you brought up that Mahomes has yet to lose 3 in a row in his NFL career.
And now he has, which is amazing. I never thought that they would lose this game. And, of course, Travis Kelce helped that out there towards the end. But, yeah, it's an amazing statistic, you know, and there's a lot to love about, you know, Patrick and everything that he's accomplished, the way he carries himself. I just think that he's a tremendous player, but I think they think that he can do it all on offense, which is ridiculous. I mean, you got to have players. And even though they won games and got the Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill, when he had Tyreek Hill on the field with him, you know, that was the big difference maker. That was the one that stretched the defense. That's the one that put the fear of God in opposing defensive coordinators. And if you don't have a guy like that on your team, which he doesn't, you know, he's going to suffer like every other quarterback that's ever played the game.
Boomer, a question from a non-football player here, because you bring up Joe Burrow, turf toe. I'm seeing grade 3, but when I see toe injury and then I see out for the season, that doesn't compute for me. As a former quarterback, how difficult is it to play through something like that? You bring up surgery, you play or playing through. What does that injury look like and feel like for a quarterback?
All right, so he's right-handed. That's his left foot. So, you know, to me, you know, that's his front foot, and he's going to have to, you know, lean forward and try to throw on it. So it's not very easy. I don't necessarily know that they would give him a cortisone shot or numb it up or shoot it up, as they say, you know, off the field. But it is a very difficult injury to deal with. The only thing I can say is that at the end of my career in 1997, I played 5 games with double plantar fasciitis in both feet. There really was no remedy for it. They could give me a little bit of cortisone before the game, but by the third quarter, both feet were killing me. And it's one of the reasons why I ended up retiring 2 years early. But anything that has to do with your feet, and you are a quarterback, any athlete for that matter, it's very delicate, and it does have a profound effect. And the other thing, too, is you got to remember, the most important thing for an athlete on the field or on the court or on the ice is, can they protect themselves naturally without thinking about an injury that they may be playing with? And I think that would be the big thing that I would ask Joe Burrow. Is there any way that he could go out on the field and play the game naturally and not worry about that foot and be able to protect himself? And the way he was injured yesterday, somebody fell on him. That thing got driven into the ground. And I could imagine he probably heard it pop. And if that's the case, then I would think that surgery is going to be in the offing.
With you, Boomer, wasn't that originally misdiagnosed as the gout?
That's what I have now.
All right. Let's get this week's Drake Take from Boomer Esiason, which is presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Drake was pressured on 19.4% of dropbacks yesterday. First time in his NFL career it was under 20%. How big of a factor was that in the way he looked in his success yesterday?
Well, you complete 82% of your passes. It's a huge factor. And, like, again, it really comes down to his confidence. Now, you guys are asking me about false start penalties and things of that nature. You know, that really goes back to the quarterback. It goes back to his cadence. It goes back to the offensive line feeling comfortable with the quarterback, knowing what he's seeing. You know, what I would suggest, and I don't know if he does this, but what he should do, he should take time, and maybe he does, and maybe you guys can ask him this. He should take time somewhere during the week and sit in with the offensive lineman, watch the end zone film, and go over all the checks, go over all the things that he might go through, especially when they go on the road and they play in a very noisy stadium, because the one thing you want is you want your offensive lineman to feel really confident about the guy behind him and where he's going to be, and what he sees is what they see. So I would suggest if he doesn't do that, that he should. Maybe he does, and maybe that will help him get even more confident and less penalties, because that's something that everybody would be driving for.
Boomer, when you look at this Patriots team, I think one thing we as fans expected coming into it, that the defense was going to be better. If you look at this defense, they lead the league in giving up explosive plays. What is it, just the fact that they don't have Christian Gonzalez? Now, I know they get after the quarterback. They lead the league in sacks. But what can they do to help them eliminate those explosive plays?
Well, they need Christian Gonzalez back. You know, you're talking about a shutdown corner, and that guy takes away half the field and the opposing team's best player. And we have seen both Geno Smith and Tua put the ball down the field and create some big plays. You know, if Devin Achan doesn't step out of bounds, I don't know, maybe we're talking about a different set of circumstances here. Yeah, from yesterday's game, that's how close this game was. And you're talking about the difference between one turnover. And when these games are close like this, and when they're one-score games, that's ultimately what it comes down to. And that interception was huge. I don't know what Tua Tagovailoa was looking at, but once you get one of those, you know, that's the things. That's the type of big plays you want on defense. So maybe when Christian gets back, they'll be okay. But the fact that they're leading the league in sacks is pretty good, Jermaine. That's something that every team would love to be able to say, because, you know, when you get to that fourth quarter and you get the big sack like they did yesterday, that's what you want from your defensive lineman. So I'm sure as this defense grows and Mike Vrabel still is tweaking it and finding out different players, who's the better player, what position should they be playing. I mean, all that stuff is being evaluated as we speak by the coaching staff. So that's a good thing to have, but unfortunately they're giving up too many plays down the field, which they realize that they have to do something about, but certainly hopefully when Christian comes back, he'll be able to be a big part of that.
Question of the week for Boomer Esiason is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Lions put up 52 on the Bears. I want to know what you made of Caleb Williams post-game saying that it wasn't surprising to him because it's a new coach, new offense, and new players.
I have to see it. This is the first I'm hearing of it. I have to see how he delivers that. I mean, the biggest problem with Caleb right now is I don't believe that his team believes in him. And that's a real problem for quarterbacks. Like, I could say that the Patriot players believe in, you know, Drake May. I do believe that the Viking players, even though they didn't win last night, still believe in J.J. McCarthy. Seattle certainly believes in Sam Darnold after yesterday's performance. That's the biggest thing, is that the quarterback has got to get his guys on his side. And there can't be any question as to who the leader is and how they react and what they say after games. And I remember being very, very sensitive, especially when I was on a losing team, to say the right thing post-game, because I knew that everybody's family was watching, every player is watching, every player's buddy or agent is watching. And if you don't say the right things, then it comes back to haunt you. So to me, it doesn't sound like Caleb Williams understands that aspect of it yet. And it's part of maturing and growing up and understanding what your responsibilities are. So depending on how he said that, Greg, would lead me to be concerned about what kind of leader he is and how the team feels about him personally.
Boomer, thanks as always. We will talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy the win.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots beat Miami down south, 33-27, the final to secure Mike Vrabel's first win as the head coach here in New England. Drake May completed 19 of 23 passes for 230 yards and two touchdowns. It was a crazy game with the Miami touchdown off a punt return, immediately followed by an Antonio Gibson 90-yard kickoff return. It's only the second time that's happened in NFL history. Other games of note, the Cowboys beat the Giants in overtime. Mac Jones and the Niners take down the Saints 26-21. Mac completed 26 of 39 passes for 279 yards and three touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers fall to the Seahawks. The Bengals beat the Jaguars but lose Joe Burrow in grade 3 toe turf that could sideline him for the season. And the Eagles take down the Chiefs 20-17. So KC 0-2 to start the season. Over to college, not a good weekend. UMass fell to Iowa 47-7, and Boston College fell to Stanford 30-20. The Red Sox take the final game against the Yankees, avoiding a sweep. 6-4 was the final after an absolutely electric bottom of the first, where the Sox scored all six of their runs. Garrett Crochet went six innings, giving up three runs on five hits while striking out 12. Not the full weekend we wanted. The other two games coming up as losses, so the Sox now a game and a half behind the Yankees and 5.5 behind the Blue Jays. Crochet talked about his outing from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, it was incredible. Just trying to give the team a chance to win. After that big first, the shutdown inning was huge, and was trying to get as deep as I could. Wish I could have saved a little bit of mileage on the bullpen, but, you know, fighting tooth and nail against a really good ball club. Feels good to leave here with a win today.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store in NissanUSA.com today. They're off tonight before welcoming the Athletics to town tomorrow. That's what's trending. Now, what the director at a hospital in Texas was doing with a camera that was not in pursuit of the health of his patients is what's creepy this morning. That's coming up in the news next.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Play clock winding down. Tua on fourth down. Pressure coming. Tua in trouble. Down he goes. Milton Williams. The big free agent ticket in the offseason seals the game for the Patriots. Mike Vrabel will have his first win as head coach of the New England Patriots, and trouble for Miami. And Mike McDaniel, what a game. What a game. Back and forth we go, and in the end, New England has its first win in Miami since 2019.
So on the one hand, Keith, they never win in Miami. Rarely win in Miami.
Not with Vrabel.
They pull out the victory there yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And you go, all right, I didn't expect that before the year, just like I didn't expect them to lose to the Raiders. Drake May was excellent yesterday. Ramondre Stevenson, excellent yesterday. Gibson, big kickoff return. There's some things to hang your hat on in the game yesterday. But you look up, and it's the second week in a row that they have allowed what I would consider a mediocre quarterback, not a bad quarterback, but a mediocre quarterback, Geno Smith last week, Tua yesterday, to shred them. The defense continues to give up explosive plays. That's a defense, by the way, that yesterday was handed a 12-0 lead. Should have been 14-0, but they were handed an early lead to play from in front. They couldn't protect that lead. They wound up giving it up before the Patriots pulled out the victory yesterday. So despite the win, and we spent a lot of time crediting May and crediting their resiliency and their ability to take a punch and win a street fight, and they're not front runners and all these things. What's wrong with the defense?
Yeah, the defense couldn't tackle, couldn't like make stops when they needed to. I think not having Christian Gonzalez is like the obvious thing to point to. Like in this game in particular, you needed him because of the receivers. But even turns out week one, you needed him more than we thought. They've given up almost 700 passing yards. And I think the pass rush has been all right, right? They've gotten home. They've gotten some sacks. Friend of the show, the Milkman, he got a couple of them.
Yep.
So they've been able to get after the quarterback a little bit, but
they got some big ones late. In their defense, they got some big ones late. Milkman with the walk-off. Ish,
but they haven't really covered Spillane all
had
that
one.
Well.
Landry had one. No, they've covered.
They can't cover, and then they can't really tackle all that well. So those would be the two that really kind of jump out to you. But also, we mentioned during what happened that Joe Burrow got hurt. If you look at the rest of the Patriots' schedule, they only play three good quarterbacks all season. Now they play one of them twice.
Yeah,
so that's a little semantics. It's four games. It's two Josh Allen games, a Lamar Jackson game, and a Baker Mayfield game.
Okay, so they go.
They don't play any other good quarterbacks. You could argue Geno Smith, fine, Tua, fine, but they don't play good quarterbacks.
Okay.
Three.
They go Rodgers.
Not good anymore.
Maybe Bryce Young by week. I think he'll have his job by week four.
Never
we'll
was
see.
Good.
I like him. Two against Josh Allen. The first is on October 5th on Sunday Night Football. Then they get what should be Spencer Rattler.
No, thanks.
Cam Ward.
Rookie, but we'll see. Maybe a little bit better by week seven, but no.
Maybe Joe Flacco with Cleveland.
Whatever,
maybe
Cleveland.
Dylan Gabriel. Yeah. Maybe Shadur. Michael Penis Jr., Atlanta,
nope.
November 2nd.
Nope.
Baker.
Yep, Baker's good.
Okay. Justin Fields.
I don't know if he survives to week 11. He didn't survive week two.
It will be Jake Browning at Cincy. Who knows with New York? Probably Jackson Dart.
Probably Dart, who looked good against you in the preseason when you were playing nobody except for Duggar.
Then you get Allen again, Lamar, Fields, Tua.
Right?
So yeah, that's a lot
three good quarterbacks all season. So when you're
that's
like
a lot of mediocre to bad quarterbacks, but you've been shredded by two mediocre quarterbacks.
100%. So they gotta get better on that. But I think there's also like the if it looks like this against these guys, what's it gonna look like against the other? Well, they don't really play too many of the others. Obviously Josh Allen's in the division. We've already sort of given the division to the Bills. Right? It's not even a fight. You went into the year hoping for a wild card spot. They're 2-0. They're probably going to run away and hide with the division. That's fine. But everybody else is very beatable. And then it goes down to, all right, when does Gonzalez show back up? Because that really has been the biggest weakness thus far. And it should be. You take overall not the most talented team in the league. The one unanimous best player is not there for 2 weeks. Other guys like Alex Austin have to kind of step up. Carlton Davis has been both good and bad. Carlton Davis has been...
He was bad in the Raiders game. I saw the numbers for him yesterday. He wasn't targeted often. They went away from that matchup, but he didn't give up anything yesterday.
No. He helped the pick in the first week.
Oh, that's true.
He giveth any ticket.
He also mistimed the jump on 3rd and 20.
Yeah.
But okay. Text line says, and this is Guy from the 207. I'm sorry. Twitch chat says, one difference is the defense made the stop at the end, contrary to the last few years. So did they really make the stop yesterday?
They didn't score. Yeah, I would say. I mean, the last two plays of the game, they got to him.
Achan stepped out of bounds.
Yeah,
the Dolphins had back-to-back penalties to put them instead of 1st and 10 to a 1st and 20.
Yeah.
So they made
they
the
took
stop.
Advantage.
They made the stop after that, but the Dolphins gave them a lot to take advantage of. But you're right. At least this team was good enough to take advantage of those boneheaded mistakes last year. Probably wouldn't have been.
Well, watching Achan score before they called it back and said he stepped out of bounds, you're like, oh my God, this is like last year. This is like the year before where whether it's Drake May or Bailey Zappi or somebody like gets you a lead and then it's gone. So, no, I guess in that sense, maybe a low bar, but whatever. They stepped over it.
So, Mike Vrabel spoke earlier today, not just with the Greg Hill Show, but also with the assembled media. This was less than 2 hours ago. He gave an answer about Terrell Williams where he said, Terrell Williams will be around this week and involved, but I don't know that it sounds like he's going to be super close to back on as a coordinator calling plays.
I was alarmed last week. I was on our way home listening to WEI Afternoons. They started their coordinator
sick
series.
Sick brag, bro.
No doubt. I was in my car, which I own.
Yeah.
Ooh, and, nice. actually needs a lot of maintenance. But anyway, so I was listening to WEI Afternoons talking to Josh McDaniels, and they asked him about Terrell Williams. And I don't know if he meant it this way, but he said thoughts and prayers. And anytime you say that, you're like, oh, man. Now, it was a slightly more positive update today from Vrabel, but I have no idea what to expect for his his health, most important, but just like how involved with the team is he going to be?
Yeah, and, we want him to take care of himself, obviously. That's the number one thing. but now what do they do in his stead? We both wanted Vrabel to call plays. He did not.
No.
Zach Kerr, I wouldn't say cleaned up a ton in the game compared to week one.
Yeah, but some of it, too, is like, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't say they necessarily did.
They didn't look any different.
But also, a lot of the missed tackles, it's like, if you just tackle the guys.
Should be correctable.
Yeah, you're like, you're right there. So I feel like you might have called the right thing, and then the guy breaks a tackle and squirts loose. It's like, I don't know how much more you want him to coach that or you know, call something different.
Yeah, still a lot of explosive plays. Yeah. Still a lot of big plays. And again, what I would say is another mediocre quarterback who shredded you. So I'd like to see Vrabel call plays. My sense is they won. They'll do the same thing again next week. But if they keep getting shredded, at some point, he's going to have to do that on defense. I know it's not ideal, but losing your defensive coordinator to a couple of different health scares, or at least a health scare a couple of different times, mm-hmm. is not ideal. So Vrabel may have to do that. He also had an exchange. I believe this is how he started the press conference, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't heard it yet. Thumbs up, Nick. I believe this is how the press conference started today with questions about Christian Gonzalez. Let's hear how that went.
This morning, you said there was a chance that we would see Christian Gonzalez and perhaps he could play. Quantify that.
I don't know if I said that there was a chance, you know, the chance, right? That so.
Yeah, can you, is it a slim
chance? It is. It's a chance. I mean, it's a chance that a lot of things could happen. And it's Monday, and we'll figure out how he progresses along the week, and we'll see what he can do and have him do what he can do.
Was there progression last week?
He's continuing to improve, working hard, and, you know, trying to get back.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing.
Get back.
Does not sound like, ooh.
Oh, get back.
Oh, yeah, that was
taking a shot at Gonzalez.
That was a shot at get back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. There's a chance. That's right. There's a chance pretty much anything can happen.
Yeah.
Chance the Red Sox miss the playoffs. They get back. Well, I don't know why you put that out there. That doesn't really help the situation.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
He didn't
anymore.
Play week two.
I mean, there's a chance the earth smashes into the sun. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a sure. chance a lot of things that happen. I wouldn't say that it sounds like he's particularly close. He's much nicer with Karen. Did you notice
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he didn't like ask her like a weird follow-up question like no. he did to Courtney.
How'd it go again with Courtney this morning?
There's a chance.
A good one?
I wanted to ask.
Courtney got a big ring. She's got a rich husband.
Great.
Strange. Not awkward at all.
That's strange to me.
It's very strange behavior.
And I don't think that's personal to Courtney. I think, and maybe his answer to Karen would fly in the face of this. Maybe it is more personal. I don't know.
Good subject maybe, change, though.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. He sounds annoyed at the whole situation. He lashed out about Diggs, if you remember, at Phil Perry after Stephon Diggs talked to Diana Rossini. He's like, really, Phil? You really believe? Where'd you go to college, Phil? You really believe that? And so I think there's a little bit of a pattern here, and there are different players in different instances. I think there's a little bit of a pattern where he's annoyed at a situation and he lashes out a little bit. I think that's what went on today. It's interesting. He kind of denied saying, oh, I think there's a chance he's going to play.
You literally said that. That was your answer. Or so we thought. Yeah,
a bunch of times in that exchange.
A chance.
Is what he said.
There's a chance.
I wanted to ask.
Courtney got a big ring. She got a rich husband.
Jeez.
Yikes.
All right. Okay.
Odd.
Yeah, it's very strange.
But I don't think
if I had to read it from here, I would say no. He's not gonna play.
I don't think he's playing this weekend. Giardi was on WEEI Afternoons on Friday. He said there was a setback with Gonzalez. It's the first time I've really seen that report. I don't know if it was a report or his kind of understanding of the situation. But if there is a setback, you can put him on IR. If he's gonna miss a chunk, if he's gonna miss 4 weeks, you can put him on IR.
Yeah, that's. Would help the team. You'd have an extra roster spot available, and you would think that's what they would do.
It would help him. It would help. Gonzalez is getting a lot of questions
that's
about,
sure you wouldn't ask him about
his effort
week.
And his contract and his involvement. And if you put him on IR, that covers the players. So
it saves us from that awkward exchange between Vrabel and Courtney.
Good point. So if there truly was a setback, put him on IR. He had a setback. You need to dial it back. Have him sit for the first 4 weeks. Instead, he's taking up a roster spot. Mm. He's not practicing in the meantime. The initial reporting was he'd be back for week one. He's not. Mm-hmm. You haven't put him on PUP or IR, which indicates you expect him back in the first 4 weeks. All of it's odd behavior, including his answer this morning with Courtney. He was much nicer with Karen.
He was.
As it turns out.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe he just felt bad about how it went this morning on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen to it on the Audacy app. AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. So that's the latest there. Meanwhile, David's in North Providence waiting patiently on the defense. Go ahead, David.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty great.
I got a quick question. Robert, Robert Spillane, he seems like he's missing a lot of tackles. Like, did this guy overrated? And why wasn't Doug playing in the second half? He had a good first half. I'll hang up and listen.
Did Doug, would you agree Duggar had a good first half?
Honestly, didn't really notice Duggar. I would say Spillane.
The only time I noticed him, he was on one of the big plays. It might have been the touchdown to Waddle. Now, it was Alex Austin, but he was involved on – I just saw him on the field on that play. I don't know if there was a situation where one was handing off to the other. I'd have to go back and watch it. That's the one time I noticed Duggar out there. Spillane hasn't been great. Through two games,
no,
Spillane has not been great.
I expected more. In fact, we had him as the preseason defensive player of the player of the year.
You, in fairness to you, you didn't want to do that.
No, I didn't. I wanted to go with Gonzalez, but to be fair to you, he hasn't played yet.
No, true. So we were all, me, Nick, Billy, we're talking up Robert Spillane. We're like, he's going to be the tone setter on defense. I thought you saw some of it in the preseason. I thought you saw some of it in joint practices and training camp. I thought that's what it's going to be, and he hasn't been that.
He has not.
Now, it's not like teams have run all over them.
No.
They didn't week one, and Achane, almost all of his damage was in the passing game yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's not like teams are running all over them. But, yeah, I don't think he's been great.
No, that's true. Yeah, a lot of Achane stuff was in the past game, like you said. So, like, it felt like he had a big game, because he did. It just wasn't a lot of it was from running. But, no, they have a lot to clean up. And I don't know exactly how you do that. That's why I wanted to ask Ellis about it, because you're not going to be hitting and tackling all week in practice, right? Like, that doesn't really happen. You're not tackling your own guys and stuff like that. But then it's like, all right, on Sunday, go ahead and do it. And then they've struggled with that to this point. But, no, I definitely have expected more out of Robert Spillane.
617-779-7937. You can jump in line here for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. They'll be talking to Drake May this afternoon on a Patriots Monday, so stay tuned for it. One thing that when we talked to Christian Ellis, kind of got bumped to the side, is the new kickoff rule. Keith, I'm curious your thoughts on it, given the wildness of yesterday's game. Malik Washington was a punt return. Antonio Gibson was a kick return. But we also saw the wild play in Pittsburgh yesterday. We saw big kicks or kick returns, rather, the last couple of weeks. How do you feel about the new rule and the NFL getting more returns and, you know, hopefully, as we saw on Sunday, more big returns?
Yeah, so it's funny. I always thought the league was going to eventually just phase it out altogether, but they haven't. And so similar to how they made the extra point more competitive a few years ago, because like for a while there was a stretch where the extra point wasn't even worth watching, and then unfortunately kickoff and kick return wasn't even worth watching. And so the days of Devin Hester or Dante Hall or somebody doing like a crazy return was kind of out. And then even last year, they move it up, and now you have like they're like 5 yards apart. So they're like, all right, this will be safer. But then teams were just blasting through the end zone anyway. So I like it. I like a kick return. I like the days of like the elite kick return guy making plays. And you've seen teams kind of tinker with it. Like the Patriots are going with like a lot of running backs, right? We've seen Henderson do it. We've seen Gibson with the return. And I think they feel like the way that the teams line up now, it's almost more like a running play than it would be just like that chaos of guys running 50 yards apart.
You'd think you almost want like a shifty guy back there, but you're right. Like, it's more like plant and go.
Get through the first wave and then you can go. And that's what Gibson did yesterday. So short answer, I like it. I like more kick returns.
I think that's a good thing to have it be a competitive play and not just to tune out, you know, go to commercial while you go grab a beer or whatever. I think it's been good. And obviously the way it played out for the Patriots yesterday was a good thing for the Pats, with him returning that kick to the house, a big play in the play that won him the game yesterday. So it's a good day to feel good about that rule. The wildness in Pittsburgh with the rookie Caleb Johnson, where he clearly didn't know the rule. And that's the team that's next up for you. Mike Tomlin always has winning seasons.
He does.
Mike Tomlin always has his team dialed in.
We'll see.
Not yesterday.
We'll see.
So that's the next team on the schedule for the Pats in week three here in Foxborough. We'll get to your thoughts again. 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. You can dial them up. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. And you got Drake May, quarterback of the New England Patriots, on a Patriots Monday. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
It's
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.